So Dilla just tweeted, looks like they've changed things up. Even if they end up hiring Byron, I'll hold that L. So I wonder...
Wait, say that one more time?
So Dilla tweeted just now, well, looks like they changed things up. Even if they end up hiring Byron, I'll hold that L. And then he retweeted Gene Fournette saying, it's not over yet. Jaguars will have a second interview Thursday with Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett per NFL sources.
Holy crap.
So that is interesting.
So one of our segments today was literally just titled Byron is our king, because, I mean, Dilla tweeted it. We thought it was pretty surefire.
I mean, it could still be Leftwich, but this is now very interesting going into the end of the week with the interview and to see who their next head coach will be.
So second interviews are now Byron, Hackett, and Eberflus?
Matt Eberflus, yep.
That's it, right?
Those are to my knowledge.
Okay, yeah. I mean, to our knowledge as fans, yeah. Wow, okay. I mean, that kind of stings a little bit. I was ready for a full-blown announcement today or tomorrow, or, you know.
I actually was thinking we'd get an announcement today, press conference tomorrow, and then go into the weekend happy, but now I don't know what we're going to do with the head coach going forward.
I mean, just to be fair, we literally just found this out, and I told Mike just to start recording. To start talking about it, and I'm sorry for the lack of intro music. There's not going to be any intro music, so maybe I'll plug it in right now for like 3 seconds. So, right now, okay. Welcome back to Dimes on Duval with Mike Yazji. I am Keith Manzi. Mike dropping some bombs already right now. Dilla bombs.
Yeah, Dilla bombs exactly.
That sucks, man. I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed too, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm really in shock that they did not seal the deal with Leftwich, because he seemed like the guy from the start. From even the end of the season, everyone was circling Leftwich as the head coach, as the future head coach of the Jags. But
right.
I don't know. This is very interesting to see going forward. Going into the weekend, what happens?
So, let's just play that Byron is still going to be the coach, all right? Just because, I mean, that was kind of the show right there. I mean, it was talking about Byron, but just your thoughts, even if he's not the coach, I mean, he could be a head coach for someone, but if he was the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, do you want him calling plays, or do you want an offensive coordinator calling plays?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, because he called plays in Tampa Bay, and he looked out to be pretty good, even with Leftwich and Tom Brady. I'm sorry, not Leftwich. With Jameis Winston and
Jabu.
Tom Brady. And offenses looked really good.
But I mean, that game was incredible.
There
I
were
mean.
Times it also did not look good. So I don't know. I think I do want Leftwich to be calling plays, but of course, as a head coach, you usually hire someone to take over the offense and the defense, but you oversee both sides.
Right. Oh, so, wow. Wait, you're supposed to oversee both sides?
Yeah, unlike someone else who doesn't micromanage. And
I agree with you, though. I agree with you in that thought. But, I mean, you know, you said there was good. You said there was bad. You're going to get that with any coach. I mean, Eberflus, the Colts defense, they looked pretty crappy, like, a lot.
They let the Jags score 26 points on them.
Let us carve them up.
In week 18. So,
the last week of the season, whatever number it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still like in shock of what we're going to do going forward. I was fully fully accepting that it was Byron Leftwich, which I was fine with. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do.
It really hurts, man. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's hitting me so hard. I mean, like I said, I was ready to get the announcement. I was ready to get the press conference. I was ready to see him come in like a teal suit again or something like that, just for like, woo, yeah, I'm here.
He would have definitely worn the teal suit.
Absolutely.
He could still wear it. We don't know if he's a head coach coming by after the weekend, but.
Which, I got to say, I'm looking at you and people can't see you, but I'm loving the beanie, man.
Appreciate it. I got it last week or so, maybe a week and a half ago, from our local shop.
Nice. Yeah, it's gray and it's got the Leaping Jaguar on it. It's a nice look. It looks like my hat that I have.
Yeah, too bad. I went on the site again last week and it sold out, so I was like, I got it right in time.
Hey, that's a win right there. I need to up my Jags gear. I have been lacking in that department. I need I want a polo. You know, just a nice, simple polo just to wear to games or something like that, because it gets boring wearing the same... Well, actually, I don't wear any Jags gear. I either wear the Dick's Wings taste tester or whatever I got to do a couple years ago when Dick's Wings came into the stadium. They did a taste test for fans, and I was one of, 50 people to try the wings or something like that. They gave me a free T-shirt, which was cool. And it's got the Jags logo on it, but that's the only Jags logo apparel that I have that fits.
Yeah, you need to step up your gear. Well, I got way too much Jags gear.
I wear my Dimes on Duval shirt usually, so I can have people ask me about it. You know,
gotta get the brand. You go out and about. I'm stuck at home half the week, majority of the week.
I'm stuck at home too. What do you mean?
Touche.
I work from home too, just like you, man.
Now you do.
We're in the same boat now.
About time.
I know, it's great. So if you don't work from home, I'm very sorry, but Mike and I have some great Snapchat conversations. I mean, we just send each other silly videos just like, I don't want to be here, or I'm tired, or whatever. It's just nice to have someone to talk to, so I appreciate you.
Always.
You think you'll ever go back to the office?
Hell no. I don't see us going back to the office, at least. I don't know. They say 2022. I'm not getting my hopes up.
I wouldn't either. All right, but enough of this nonsense. Let's talk about some of that great football we got to watch this past weekend. I mean, there wasn't a bad game. They were all really good games, right? Yeah, I watched, I think, all of them.
Yeah, all of them came down to the final drive and or possession, one way or another, whether it's a game-winning field goal or game-winning touchdown or even just a bad play one way or another.
Do we agree that the Chiefs-Bills game was the best of the bunch?
Yes, but I'm going to have a little thought on the Rams-Bucks.
Yeah, that's right there.
I was there at the game, and if people saw me on social media, I was there. Man, that game was insane.
Yeah, walk us through it, man. How was the stadium, Raymond James?
Raymond James is all right. It's nothing great. The
ship's cool, though, right?
The ship is cool. It gets annoying after a while, after the cannons, after every touchdown, or whatever, after every point they score, they blow them off. Which is cool because it's a concept. Whenever you want your team to score, you hear those cannons. But I will say this. Their concessions are so much better than the Jaguars.
Like better quality or better price?
So from what I saw from the other people who was getting concessions, because I don't want to spend any more money on that after that weekend in Tampa, they definitely had better looking food. Their nachos were actually loaded nachos, like actual loaded nachos. They had brisket sandwiches. They had loaded hot dogs. They had a lot of stuff in Raymond James. However, I don't seem like a fat ass here talking about food.
Hey, food is good. Food is king.
So, I have a gripe with Bucks fans.
Oh.
When they were down 27-13 in the fourth quarter, there were people leaving the game after the Mike Evans flag call that was a dead ball foul at the end where they didn't call roughing, or not roughing, I'm sorry. Personal foul, like running, not running, hitting a defenseless receiver. There was a dead ball foul, so it was after the play, so it didn't count towards the Bucks. Just moved the Rams back. There were fans that left after that point.
Wow.
My thing is, I'm a Jags fan.
Right.
We've been down two scores with a whole quarter to go, and we still don't leave.
I was going to say, we've been down two touchdowns within 5 minutes of the game.
And you think anything can happen. One score, anything can happen. You have the greatest of all time at quarterback of your franchise.
Okay, yeah.
And yet you still leave, and he's come back from a bigger deficit by 1 point before in the biggest game of the year a few years ago against the Falcons. Sorry, Falcons fans, but I just had to bring it up.
Yeah, yeah.
That was 28-3. Mm-hmm. And there were jokes I remember at the time. I went on Twitter when it was 27-3. They said they should have gone for two to make it a 28-3 game.
Yeah.
Anyway, my thing is, you were down 27-3. You see the Bucks come back slowly. Now it's 27-13. How the hell do you leave when you have the greatest of all time quarterbacking your team? And then within two drives and a fumble because of Cam Akers, which sucks going to FSU, but
Yeah, it was a tough one. It was a good tackle.
Back-to-back drives, FSU players screw the Rams, whether that was Jalen Ramsey and Cam Akers. Not a good day for Florida State fans. But it got to 27-27 with 40-something seconds left in the game. You're like, oh my God, Brady's about to pull off this comeback. And the Rams are choking it away. And then Matt Stafford puts his nuts all over Tampa Bay's defense, as he did all game long, throwing for over 350 yards.
Shout out to Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. How do you leave an all-pro receiver, number one receiver in the league, arguably?
He's up there.
Wide open multiple times in this game.
Almost 200 yards receiving.
Yeah. He exploited the Bucs, and that when he threw that play, when Stafford threw the cup to get to the 10-yard line or however, maybe 13-yard line? Yeah, 13-yard line.
He was in the red zone.
Yeah. That stadium went completely silent.
I bet they did.
I mean, it was silent for a majority of the game, but when the Bucs tied it up, the energy came back up. Oh,
completely shifted, I'm sure. Yeah, they were hype as hell.
Like, we were texting during the game, and it was silent. And then it just got incredibly insane and then deflated out of thin air. And the Bucs, they blew it. They had their chance, but...
Hey, props to Lenny, though, for getting his two tutties.
Yeah, but Leonard looked good.
Keeping that streak going. I mean, his stats don't tell the story. I mean, those touchdowns were nice.
And he had nine catches,
He had some nice catches, too. So, good for him. So, I think it was honestly, besides the Cam Akers fumble and...
Oh, he had two fumbles. Yeah, well, first half and then now.
That really bad one, but...
plays for Cam that hurt the team, but...
But other than that, like, it went the way I wanted it to. Like, I wanted the Rams to win because I feel for Stafford. I mean, guy was stuck in Detroit his whole life, so he deserves something better because I think he was a good quarterback, and he is a good quarterback. I mean, his stats this game certainly showed that. Lenny got his touchdowns. Jalen Ramsey looked like an idiot on that Mike Evans touchdown. That was hilarious. Yeah. He was lost. Completely lost. He's just shaking his head the whole time afterwards. He's like, dude, it was your fault, man.
Yep.
You looked like an idiot. And, yeah, Tom Brady's out of the playoffs. So that was the cherry on top.
For me, I was rooting for the Bucs because I was there. You can't not root against the home team while you're there. And also got I also got some Instagram replies to my story saying, I put it on my story, since the Jags can't make the playoffs, might as well make the drive to see a real playoff team. And then the thing is, people, listen, there's two playoff teams in the game, not just one. I could have made the drive to see LA, could have made the drive to see Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you don't know which one. You didn't specify. That's true.
I didn't specify. I just said a real playoff team, and they were both real playoff teams, and they showed on Sunday, along with the other six teams that played over the weekend. But Bills-Chiefs was a classic as well, in my opinion. That was an instant classic.
I mean, the amount of offense in that final minute 40-something.
There were 25 points scored in the last 2 minutes of the game.
It's insane.
Of the fourth quarter, I'm sorry.
Okay, wait. Let's talk overtime rule. Thoughts?
Bro, people need to get over it. They need to, this is, overtime rule is fine.
Ah, damn. We agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know what? You blame the coin toss? You have one of the best defenses in the league, Bills fans. Get a stop. You don't have to worry about a coin toss.
They had to stop Patrick Mahomes from going 40-something yards at 13 seconds. Sure, the Chiefs had timeouts. But my 13 goodness. 13
seconds.
Man. Two plays, you get them 44 yards? Come on. Like,
that was like the Bucs drive where they had three plays for 77 yards.
The Bills deserve to lose that game after that dysfunctional 13 seconds in the game, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But, and then, of course, it was a coin toss, which, okay, coin toss isn't a perfect rule. I'm not saying it is, but I think there's nothing wrong with it. Show up, make a stop, and then get the ball back. Simple as that.
I'm not sitting here saying that I'm against, like, everyone wants the college football rules. I'm not saying I don't want the college against football it. Rules. You don't want it at all?
No, I don't the two-point conversion crap because that's just annoying.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the old college rule. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The two-point conversion rule is stupid to me.
Yeah, I agree that doesn't belong in, especially professional football.
In professional football, yeah, they can relax with
that.
Yeah,
but like if you went to the old college rules, I wouldn't be upset, but I'm honestly okay with this. I mean, as a Packers fan, my favorite moment in history is Matt Hasselbeck of the Seahawks saying, "We want the ball because we're going to score and we're going to win." And then he proceeds to throw a pick six to Al McKenzie, Al Harris, who just walks it back in for the – Al McKenzie, jeez. Mike McKenzie, I'm thinking of the wrong Packer. Al Harris picks him off and takes it all the way back, and we win the game. It's like, hey, man, it doesn't mean your offense is going to score if you get the ball. I mean, we saw how many ties were there this season? There was like four ties.
Yeah. No, there were one tie. There was one tie.
There was only one tie this year?
In the NFL? There were a lot of overtime games, but there was only one tie.
Oh, I thought there was more than that.
No,
never
there
mind.
Was one tie. It was Steelers and Lions. So I'm good LOL. With both that. I don't want to see that go
but
further.
I mean, you still have ties happening. That means it's not broken.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like
it's just because
the
everyone.
Team suck.
I'm convinced that if it was a 3-3 game, 10-10 game, no one's really scoring, no one's getting the ball downfield, people would be fine with the one first score wins if it's a touchdown.
Oh, perfectly absolutely.
But since it was such an instant classic, no one wanted to see either team lose in that way, which I understand. But the fact is, if it was a 10-10 game with only two touchdowns scored in 60 minutes of football, no one would be complaining, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. Okay, so we're on the same page there.
So speaking of Packers, you were talking about the Packers overtime.
Yeah.
Let's touch on the Packers game. What the hell happened to Green Bay?
That was I'm going to say it is, in my lifetime, the best Packers defense I've ever seen. They were fantastic. They
and
did
I remember
everything
earlier
right.
This year we were talking about you were not a fan of the Packers defense.
I wasn't because they were struggling, but they actually woke up and figured out what to do. And bringing in Rasul Douglas was a great move. He really lit the cornerbacks up and all the defensive backs up. The D-line started to get more pressure. I mean, I got to pull this up real quick. Hang on, because
my biggest thing with the Packers is that you have the MVP in Aaron Rodgers, one of the best receivers in the NFL in Devontae Adams. Aaron Jones played a huge part because A.J. Dillon left the game, but the fact that Devontae Adams was the only receiver, actual wide receiver, to have more than one catch is insane to me.
Hey, I give credit where credit's due. I mean, San Francisco defense was pretty much locked down. And then, you know, you throw the ball to Mercedes Lewis and he
fumbles.
I mean, you can't expect that to happen. It just happened and it sucks. That hurt a lot. What was the other thing I was going to say? Yeah, Alan Lazard had one target for 6 yards. Devontae Adams had 11 targets. Aaron Jones had 10 targets. That's your running back and the best receiver in the game. Randall Cobb didn't have he had one target. DeGuara had one target. Dominique Daphne had two targets. I mean, to be fair, these guys aren't very good, but you just couldn't get the separation. And we saw that from both teams, honestly. It's hard to get separation in that cold.
Yeah, it was cold.
It's slush. It started snowing really bad, so it's hard to cut. The one Randall Cobb target they showed, I mean, he couldn't even plant his feet to cut, and he looked way out of sorts, and that's why he didn't make the catch. But
yeah, and still. To be honest, that type of weather Saturday night suited the 49ers and their offense. Run first, defense, let's go.
Well,
because Jimmy Garoppolo is garbage in the cold weather.
Yeah,
he only had 131 yards passing.
I mean, he still has a bum thumb. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there, and a bad shoulder.
Yeah, but we'll see how he looks Sunday against the Rams. But Aaron Rodgers only threw 29 times, which is weird because Rodgers would light up usually in the cold weather. Because
they were, you know, three and outs. It was a bunch of three and outs in a row. Without A.J. Dillon, honestly, that was a huge, huge subtraction there.
But Dillon got hurt, I think, in the late third, maybe mid fourth.
Yeah, but he was helping balance the run game. I mean, Aaron Jones, obviously, is going to get the ball more, but I think he's that guy that when you're third and or second and eight, he'll get you to second and or third and two or third and one. We're playing with third and 10 and you can't throw the ball very well. It just wasn't working out. And I'm not giving Aaron Rodgers, you know, like the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he had a great game. He still got sacked five times, but it was just miserable. It was not great. And it really just, it really sucks to lose on a field goal.
Yeah, no, it was definitely not a good, it was definitely a rough patch for Packers fans to see that because they should have honestly took care of business. But, man, Robbie Gould, he drilled a field goal. He never missed a field goal in the playoffs in his career, and he came in clutch for them.
Yeah.
Speaking of field goals.
Wait, hang on. Fuck you, Bears fans that were talking
go ahead,
shit.
Go off.
I mean, come at me when you guys actually win a playoff game ever. You know, like in my lifetime, the Bears have been... they had a couple good years, but we've got a Super Bowl in my lifetime. I haven't seen a Bears in my lifetime. Suck my butt. All right, go ahead.
Jesus.
it's just like you're in my mentions. Not in any of my mentions. You're just on my like my Twitter feed or whatever, and it's just like, shut up.
Speaking of suck my butt, Tennessee Titans. Frauds. Frauds. F-R-A-U-D-S. Frauds.
Who's the biggest fraud?
Is Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill. Ryan frickin'
Aaron Rodgers of Tennessee.
Please don't speak that into existence.
I was on the phone with my buddy today, and he was asking me where I think Aaron Rodgers goes. I'm like, I mean, if he doesn't re-sign with Green Bay, the most popular thing to say is Denver. It's been the word around and stuff like that. But he was like, what about Tennessee? They've got the tools. They got the receivers. They got a great running back. They don't have a quarterback.
Don't speak that into existence.
I don't want it to be in existence. It's an easy division because you know you got a cakewalk against all the other teams, including us. Hopefully not us.
You're not wrong, but let's not speak that into existence.
Hey, you know, Tennessee, you heard it here first. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, honestly, I think you're the only one who suggested that. But let's just talk about the frauds real quick up in Nashville. They got to Joe Burrow 9 times, I believe. 9-10 times. And Joe Burrow still dominated them for 348 yards.
9 sacks for 68 yards. Yeah, their offensive line is
Ryan Tannehill, a swinging door. 3 interceptions. One of them on the very first play of the game, I believe it was. Because I remember I was in town. I was walking to a bar, and we see Tennessee get the ball. And then a minute later, they turn it over. So I'm like, what? The game just started.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill is hot garbage. Tennessee, once again, are frauds. And I hope to God they never make the Super Bowl. Because that franchise and that stadium can go blow up for all I care.
How did they become the one seed? It's just amazing. With all those injuries they had.
The coach of the year, Mike Vrabel. But one thing I'll give a lot of respect to the Cincinnati Bengals. I was not a fan of them taking Ja'Marr Chase at number 5 this past year in the draft. Yeah, I'm an idiot. That's why they get paid the big money to be general manager and head coach of a team. Because yeah. Joey B, Joe Burrow, a.k.a. Macaulay Culkin.
He just got engaged, by the way, to Brenda Song from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
I could care less about...
She's a dime.
I'm not saying... I know who you're talking about. I could care less about celebrity couples.
She's way better looking than him, but go ahead. Go on.
Dude, a lot of things are better looking than Macaulay Culkin, especially when he's coked out. Back to Ja'Marr Chase. I thought they should have taken Penei Sewell to protect Joe Burrow, and I was dead wrong. But also, to the last game against the Titans shows that they do need to protect Joe Burrow.
I was going
to
say, you're not wrong, but you are wrong.
They showed 9 sacks against Tennessee. 9 sacks allowed, and yet Joe Burrow still finds a way to win the game with no touchdown throws.
You give him Jacksonville's O-line, which isn't great by any means. That sack total will probably cut in half. And he might throw for over 400 yards. I think so.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
I think so.
But, yeah, no, the fact that Joe Burrow has weapons in Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, and a good tight end in C.J. Uzomah, and even a good receiver in Tyler Boyd, makes me wonder that the Bengals are very dangerous going into next week against the Chiefs.
All right. Well, since you already mentioned it, Super Bowl picks, now with these teams left.
So, in the AFC, I'm going to go with the Chiefs, but man, I really want... Okay, who I'm rooting for are the Bengals and the Niners. Okay. Who I think will win, it's going to be the Chiefs and the Rams, in my opinion. I think the only reason I'm skeptical about the Rams pick is because Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, has not beaten Kyle Shanahan. And it's been 6 tries. So Shanahan is 6-0 against McVay.
Okay.
He has never beaten the Niners. But as we saw last year with Tampa Bay, they lost 2 in the regular season to the Saints. And that third game, the Saints got smacked by the Bucks.
Yeah. That sucked. That sucked really bad.
It's hard to beat a team 3 times in a season. How the fuck Tennessee did it to Jacksonville 99, I still don't know.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah. Mayo loving fucks. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams to get revenge on Shanahan and the Niners to go play in the Super Bowl at home, by the way, back-to-back years now,
mm-hmm.
against the Chiefs is my pick.
I'm picking Cincy. I don't know why. I don't know how. I just think they're so hot right now.
Honestly, I'm not mad at all.
I mean, I think Joe Burrow needs to throw a couple touchdowns for me to feel comfortable.
Do they remind you of the 2017 Jags?
Yeah, they kind of do. But like, but Joe Burrow's way better than...
Better offense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They have a better offense than defense, but their defense is solid. Our offense is okay.
But I don't know if it really reminds me of them.
Just the fact that they've got a young team. They've got the cockiness set locked down with their quarterback.
Okay. Granted, we all right, yeah, them. In those regards. Yeah, I was going to say, because like...
They're a cocky team, but they back it up.
We were Saxonville. I don't know if they were exactly...
I can see Saxonati. The Bengals beating the Chiefs. I can see the Bengals beating the Chiefs.
And I'm going the Rams on the other side, because I can't root for the freaking 49ers.
Why?
They fucking beat the Packers 4 times in the playoffs in my lifetime. I hate the 49ers.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I'm just going to say the Rams just because I want Stafford in there. And I think he can get it done. What an interesting... think about it. You could have Joe Burrow versus Matthew Stafford or Jimmy Garoppolo in the freaking...
There is a 75% chance someone gets their first ring. Not because... I'm not counting Jimmy G in New England as getting a Super Bowl ring, but...
Did you know that Jimmy Smith has a Super Bowl ring? Actually, 2.
Yeah, with the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just watching a video of like random players that you might not think have a ring had a ring, and he was in there as well as Mark Brunell.
Brunell got it with the Saints, correct?
Yeah. Yep, he was the holder.
Yep.
It was kind of cool. I was like, hey, wow, actually some Jaguar shout-outs. Woohoo. But anyway, okay, all right, well. We've got some Super Bowl thoughts. I have in my notes here, Keith trusts Dilla. We trusted you, Dilla. I know you're probably not listening to us, but we believe in you. Please, please let him be in there. Mike, can I go off?
Go ahead. What's up?
You know how we have Mike's Mad Minute? Can we do a Manzi's Mad Minute?
Oh, I'm curious. What is this about?
Oh, man. Fans are probably going to tune out right here, but I'm going to talk about the Orlando Magic and our game the other night against the Chicago Bulls. So, for those of you that do not know, the Magic stink. We've stunk all season. We just got our 9th win. Worst record in the league. Whoop, whoop. But we got our 9th win against the Chicago Bulls. Now, the Bulls are dealing with quite a few injuries. Most recently being Alex Caruso that people saw because Grayson Allen is a piece of crap. As we've known since we are Florida State basketball fans, Grayson Allen can go die in a hole, but he took a very, very bad angle on Alex Caruso and hurt him, sprained his wrist, whatever, fractured his wrist. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. So they don't have him. They don't have Lonzo Ball. They have other injuries that have been cycling in and out. Well, the Magic were at home and led the entire game and won against the Bulls. For some reason, the stream that I was watching, and apparently every other Magic fan was watching, was it was the Bulls broadcast. So it was like the NBC feed or whatever. And
so it was just a standard Bulls, like Bally Sports feed, not the...
Yeah, yeah. Not they don't have Bally up there, but, you know, it's the same concept. Yeah, same okay. concept. So... Stacey King is their color guy, and he is a former Bulls player, which, shit, if you had told me he played on the Bulls, I had no idea, but he's been doing this for 15 years, and he is a huge homer. Like, I'm talking we when he talks. You know, obviously he played for the team. He's going to be a homer, and he says we, but
yeah.
I think we've been spoiled as Magic fans to have David Steele and Jeff Turner be completely unbiased. I mean... They'll maybe argue a call that's more beneficial to the Magic, but they are extremely unbiased, and I love that because they're some of the best in the business. That's why they've won awards for being so good. So Stacey King is like mad. He keeps getting annoyed that the Magic bench is jumping up and down when we're making plays, and the biggest one being Jalen Suggs, who is a Magic rookie. Dunks on DeMar DeRozan first, which was awesome. It's my new phone background, actually. And second, he stole a cross court pass and took it and did a 360 slam. But as he's going back up the court, he's pointing to his chest and he's like, you know, underlining the Magic logo. He's like, yeah, Magic, baby. And Stacey King's going off. He's like, oh, please, bro. You're a freaking 9-win team. Chill out. Or, well, we were an 8-win team at the time. But I'm like, okay. So a guy can't get excited over a dunk over a team that's supposedly better than them, that they're actually winning.
And that was one of his first games back after an injury.
Correct. Yeah, he'd been sidelined with a thumb injury and he was hyped. No, you can't get hyped in that situation. So people were pissed. Magic Twitter was pissed. I was pissed. And I'm like, dude, shut up.
Yeah,
like,
you're more of a Magic Twitter guy than I am. So I didn't see this, but then again, I think I was when was this? This was what, 24th? Oh, I was in Tampa, so yeah, obviously.
Yeah, you were at a commission, yeah. But yeah, so like, and also during the broadcast, they kept calling the Wagner brothers by the wrong first name. It's like, dude, come on. It's not that hard. Get it figured out. But anyway, after the game, Magic Twitter attacked Stacey King. They're like, hey, bro, like, what the hell is your problem? So this one guy says, Stacey King is salty because the most injury-plagued team in the league just beat them for win number 9. Hold that shit while our inexperienced lineup cooks y'all. Jalen Suggs continues to represent. Because, you know, that was one of the quotes from Stacey King was like, oh, yeah, dude, you're only an 8-win team. Like, stop showboating. So Stacey replies, dude, please, we haven't had a full roster all season. I'm going to stop right there. Magic, Mike, have the Magic had a full roster this season?
That is incorrect.
Have the Magic had a full roster last season?
Not that I recall.
No, we haven't had a full roster in over 2 years.
We haven't had a full roster since the Dwight Howard days, if I'm going to be honest.
I mean, touche. But there is a graph that shows the most injuries on a team since, this guy has it since the bubble. So there's this account that this guy actually makes a graph each week for NBA games missed due to injury versus team wins. And this was as of January 24th, 2021. I'm going to put this graphic on our show announcement so you guys can look at the graphic and see if you can find the Magic on there. Mike, can you find the Magic on this list? This list is a cluster of all of the teams that have L's and stuff like that, and they're all like around like the middle area.
I found them. They're on the bottom right, and they are at least 50.
How many games is that down there? What's that number down there?
Over 300 games.
Over 300 games missed due to injury combined.
The next closest team looks like it's probably around 224, 227, I'd say, in the middle of 225.
Where's Chicago? Where's Chicago?
Chicago is... Okay, I gotta zoom in on
that. That's okay. So while you're going over that, they were talking about that, and they're talking about games missed due to COVID, so miss me with that excuse.
If I'm not mistaken, looks like Cleveland and Chicago are on top of each other, so the initials look like Clehe. so they look like they're about between 150 to 175. So just about half.
So we have like 150 more, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool. So that means we have been way more injury plagued, so you can miss me with that, Stacey King. He also says, you won 8 games, and as much as I like Suggs and the young talent in Orlando, quit the high school antics and play ball. So, Mike, apparently if you have a crazy dunk, or multiple in this game, as Jalen Suggs
if
did.
If I ever have a dunk, I want you to record it so I can post it all over social media and never forget. Let me forget it.
This dude's been injured. He was the higher pick than Franz Wagner, but everyone's been in love with Franz because he's been playing better. Suggs has taken a while to get into his own. You can't tell me you're not going to get hyped over an incredible dunk like that. Like, if you all saw these dunks, if you did, you would be hyped too. So, Stacey King, you are on my bum. What is the segment that Scott and Alex would do? Waller of the Week.
Waller of the Week.
This is the Waller of the Week, Stacey King, who is so butthurt by the Bulls losing and, oh, we have so many injuries. Miss me with that. Markelle Fultz has been out for over a year. Jonathan Isaac's been out for over a year. You still had 2 All-Stars in the game. DeMar DeRozan sure had a 40-point game, but Vooch had like a 4 of like 20 performance with, and he fouled out. So miss me with that shit. You still have 2 All-Stars on your team and you couldn't beat us, so...
Speaking of the Magic, they're currently up 1 on the Clippers, which is
crazy. Get win number 10, baby. Let's get it. Let's get into double digits. So, Bulls fans, if you want to come at me, go for it. You can't hurt me anymore. We're literally bottom of the barrel, and I know it. But miss me with the whole, we've got more injuries than you, because you don't. You simply don't. And I'm done, Mike. That was a longer than a minute, but I'm sorry. I had to get that out. Do you agree?
I'm just looking at the terrible graphic 1010 put out.
There is so much going on in this graphic. You have the Giphy version of the NFL logo that's like bouncing around on the...
That looks like it's drunk.
Yeah. There's like five different fonts. We Ask the Nightlife is like crooked. Ooh, this is so bad. Ah, well, that's what you get when having a shitty social team. Yeah, so that's about it, really, Mike. I mean...
I got nothing.
It's been an interesting couple weeks. I mean, we haven't really been around. We haven't really had much go on besides NFL.
We're getting in the middle of the NBA season, which is nice. Because yeah. Now people can focus. Me especially focus more on NBA because I honestly am more of a Jags fan than a Magic fan. But I do love my Magic. Don't get me wrong, but definitely focus more on NBA. And yeah,
that's we watched. JU did win the Rumble. We didn't go, but that was a great win for JU. They needed that, but they've dropped three in a row, which kind of sucks. I didn't do a local update, so I'm not exactly sure what UNF's been up to.
Oh, speaking of local update, I noticed this today. I was driving. This was in the more early morning. Not driving. I'm sorry. Not early. It was driving early morning. I listened to 1010.
And, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know. I was for Left Twitch News, honestly. That's the only reason I listen to them. I noticed that a UNF female basketball player, I think it was UNF. Yeah, it was UNF because she just swooped into UNF gym, whatever. She has an NIL deal with, I forgot what company it was. It's a local company.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, huh. Because I know we talked about that briefly, like off air, about UNF and NIL. So I thought it was really cool that a UNF... just athlete has an NIL deal with the sponsor here in Jacksonville. I just don't know who it was, and I can't remember the name, but I thought it was really cool. So that's something, that's a little local news that UNF and are getting involved with the NIL deals. So good for them.
Hey, hell yeah. They deserve it. Oh, wait, is this it right here? Oh, beach volleyball player. Oh, get out of here, Ad.
I don't remember Smoothie King being one, so no.
Hey, I mean, that's still pretty cool, though. I mean... Oh, a yeah. Beach volleyball player getting a sponsorship? That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's definitely more coming around, so we'll see. I mean, I thought it was really cool that, like I said, a small school like UNF gets it, so gets those athletes to get those NIL deals. So good for them, and hopefully we see a lot more of that going forward locally.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hopefully we see some more JU and UNF wins, as well as... It's so weird in the offseason, man. Like, I'm so used to just talking straight Jags. I mean, we got to see a Byron deal, man. Next time we record, are we doing an emergency pod if he
depends on where everyone is at, so we'll see.
That's true. We miss Skylar. Skylar's not able to be here tonight, but hopefully next time we will have him aboard with us. But for now, this is it for another episode of Dimes on Duval. For Mike Yazji, I am Keith Manzi signing off, and hopefully we'll hear good news soon.
Fire, Balky, for the love of God.